Malo Elide.
Talo Falava.
I'm Hifo.
And I'm Adri.
And
welcome to the Speak On It podcast.
Today we'll be talking about the indirect impacts of public spaces. We are joined by a super dope guest, David Pouchet Jr. or DJ.
Hello everybody, what's going on?
I'll turn it over to him so he can introduce himself a little bit. We'll just start off with name, your roots, school and major, and then current occupation.
Okay. Like my guest said, my name is David Pouchet Jr., or those that know me, I go by DJ. I am from San Francisco, California, born and raised.
Yes, sir.
405 all the way. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
I am American Samoan and Black. My current school that I am enrolled to is City College of San Francisco, a child development major. And my current occupation is I am a K through 5th teacher at Pelega Recreation and Park and a 5th grade teacher at John F. Kennedy in Daly City.
Yes, sir. Our intentions with this podcast are to uplift Pacifica Tay voices and hold space to just chop it up with one another about shared experiences in San Francisco's D10.
We like to start off our episodes with a check-in question to ground ourselves in this conversation. And today's question is, if someone were to secretly film a day in your life, what places would they see you go to and what would you do there?
Oh, man, if anybody was recording me, you know, it's funny because as a creator myself, I usually do that for other people, but I've never really had the opportunity for it to happen for me consistently. But the places I would go to so often, it depends on various of the days, but I'll go based on like a Wednesday. So like every Wednesday, I wake up in the morning, I would go to, like obviously I'll be at home, getting ready, get myself together, be with my family, head out to city because I have 2 morning classes. Mm. Then after class, go to work. If they would allow that, I know they don't allow some video for the children. Then work there. Then after work, I would go straight into my shout out check aura, my big brother JF. If everybody knows JF, my big brother JF. Check aura is, you know, a team where it's my big brother JF. He's the artist, and then I'm one of the creatives. So that's usually a fun time. I think that'll probably be the most fun and fun documented part of the Wednesday schedule, because a lot goes on Wednesdays, whether we go out to eat, we have a meeting, we go to a studio session and we create. So I think a Wednesday would be a perfect time for my life to be documented.
Nice, nice.
Period. And I do like how you added what day specifically you'd want to be recorded. I think for me, the places I would frequent is definitely SF State because I am a student there.
Right.
The day of the week I would choose is my Thursdays.
Yeah.
Which is the days that we typically record. But nice. Yes, SF State is definitely a place that I frequent. Also, SCDC because I work there.
Right.
And home because I love to be home. And also the recording studio or the hub located in Sunnydale, which is where we are currently at. Yeah, on Thursdays, I just come straight here. And then my co-host and I, Hifo, we go take lunch.
Mm.
And then we'll go up to SCDC and continue off our workday.
Mm.
So very basic, very boring.
It's okay. Mine is more boring. I literally just... Wednesdays are my busiest days. But that's because usually I'll start off at home and then I'll work SCDC because I'm the family youth coordinator there.
Nice.
And then Wednesdays is usually my busiest days because I have a parenting program that I coordinate. So it's kind of just like building familial relationships between their youth. And that starts around like 6:30 and ends at 8:30. After that, I'd usually go visit my mom, help her out a little bit, and then I'd go home to my 2 little boys. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Shout out moms.
Thank you, thank you.
Period. And DJ, I know you mentioned being a creative.
Yes.
Could you speak a little bit more about that?
I was kind of shy talking about this, but I'm going to talk about it now. Yes, I am a fellow Polynesian Pacifica creator. I'm a photographer / videographer. I've been doing it for about, 2025. So I've been doing this since about 2021 when I graduated high school. I know that sounds like a long time, but it's not 24 years. I, oh wow, the crickets. So it's funny, I started actually with photography first for about like 2 years, because at first it was a bit of a thing where I was trying to find my style as a creator and where I wanted to go about things and how I wanted to go about things and finding my style overall. What gave me like my big like confidence boost to continue doing photography was my Uncle Roy. Anybody that knows Roy, you know who I'm talking about. The famous Time I Job Blessed Live in the Flesh, you know. He is a very big influence on why I continue to do it because he hosts every year Pacific Feats. And no, I'm not trying to sponsor the program or anything. He hosts Pacific Feats every single year. And whenever he hosts it, he was like, you know what, son, I'm going to bring you. You're going to be my media person. No matter where I go, you go with me. And ever since he's kept word of that. So I've been his main media guy. Videography, I got into about 2023. It was like a late August where I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. You never know what it could do. And ever since then, I've been kind of laying out my creative ideas and what's going on inside my head through video. And that's been a pretty fun process through it all.
That's what's up.
Super dope. Yeah, I've actually known DJ. I have the privilege and honor to know DJ since 2018, 2019, way back when. But just seeing his growth, you know, as a person, as a creative, like, I've just been so proud. And I'm excited to see. No, please don't. I'm just very excited to see where the future takes you. And we also, Hifo and I, we were at Pacific Feats
last year. Right in the front row with me.
Exactly. And seeing you in your element, like, this is where you belong. This is where all of your energy is channeled into. And it's just a wonderful thing to witness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Thank you, sister.
All right, so our first segment is Tell Me Something Good, where we dive into the positive indirect impacts of public spaces. So to start it off, I did want to talk about how public spaces are really good for creative hustles, right? And side gigs, especially because open spaces are like parks and plazas for youth. And they are able to sell art or they're able to perform or promote small businesses. Mm. Do you guys know any events that are hosting anything like that?
Not off the top of my head, but I know Park and Rec, sometimes they'll do like events all throughout the city. They'll do like creative events, whether it's like arts and crafts, they'll do like a sports clinic, cooking clinics, you know, stuff like that. So, it's much more open to the public. It's open to all. It's no like, oh no, you can't come. All is welcome, no matter what it is, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's children that are coming into these spaces and they want to be able to not only enjoy themselves, but they also want to figure out who they are. Cause you know, a child, they're, well, even as adults, we're still figuring out who we want to be. But, you know, as a young child, they may want to be, you know, like a basketball player, a cook, an astronaut, an officer, et cetera. So it starts in a public place. It starts at like a park.
Wow. Sorry. That was very powerful.
Right.
I think you bring up a really good point about having access to resources. And it reminds me of this book I had read for class. It was talking about community organizing, grassroots organizing, but basically the person had said, if you want to reach the adults, all it takes is a basketball. By that he means dribble a basketball and then the kids will be like enticed by what you're doing. They'll want to play, you know, pick up basketball, whatever it may be. From there, you'll have the opportunity to kind of like meet the adults in their life because they'll come back and be like, hey, like, what are you guys doing? And, you know, that's the way change happens within a community. To your point, brother DJ, that's what it reminded me of. But
I want to cap out off what you said.
Yeah.
So my teacher, shout out Miss Norma at City College. She is an amazing teacher. She said, we as adults who work with children, we are a magnet. Whatever they see us do, they're going to want to do too. So like, for example, at my job in Daly City at JFK, I have my boys and even like the little ones, when they see Mr. DJ dribble a basketball, they be like, oh, Mr. DJ, can we come play with you? Oh, Mr. DJ, can you shoot the ball? Because everybody knows Mr. DJ play basketball. That's another thing. I play basketball. I play basketball my whole life, but I don't take it serious. When I play basketball with the kids, that's like my way of, that's one of the many ways I bond with all my children. And yes, I say my children because they are my kids. That's how I look at them because they're in the I'm in possession of other people's kids, so I consider them to be my own. Yeah, I bond with my kids through sports, through all ways that'll, you know, have them communicate not only with me, but also, you know, with other kids around them. That's building community. That's building friendship.
Period.
Period.
Hifo, are there any creative hustles that come to mind? To go back to that question.
No, you're good. I appreciate spaces like that. The ones that I'm thinking about aren't in D10, but I do know some in D10. But there's a creator that's super dope, I feel like needs recognition. On Instagram, it's KPXSF.
Mm-hmm.
So she makes like city-themed jewelry, clothing, things like cups or like little pins and jewelry that I really appreciate. Mainly because like I wasn't born in SF, but I was raised out here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the city made me. Usually on mission, like she'll have like little pop-ups and where she can sell her art. And I appreciate that because for one, she's super dope, right? And she does most of her content on Instagram is like how she sells her art. Right. But like the pop-ups is like really where it's at because you get to meet the creator, right? And then you kind of get the opportunity to get to know them and the meaning behind their art. But yeah, there is an event called Small Business Sunday at India Basin. Right. Yeah, and like it's good for or it's open to small businesses, vendors, and they are able to display their craft and then allow community members to kind of engage in fun activities too while they're there. I think another one is the Pacifica Content Sesh.
Yes.
On Treasure Island. Where it's like, for those who don't know, a group of Pacifica creators teamed up to have this event where participants could collaborate and have their artistic projects be shown to the community. That includes merchandise promotion with Pacifica models, video production, mm-hmm. and even portrait photography. But just wanted to put that out there.
Shout out my big sister, Miss CJ. CJ is one of the many people that put that together, or if not the main person that put the Pacifica Content Sesh together. I have yet to make one, but I've been invited to each and every single one because I've always been busy. But one of these days I'll make one. But till then, keep it up.
Yeah, shout out to, as DJ was saying, CJ Tufuli at See Me Photography on Instagram and Facebook.
That's right.
One of the dopest folks that I've encountered
mm-hmm.
ever,
in my time.
Ever.
Something that came to mind while you were talking about your examples, Hifo,
mm-hmm.
is how it's so different from like a big corporation selling, you know, and producing, mass producing clothing, but to meet the actual creator and hear about their intentions, see their journey. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very personal.
Yeah.
And I appreciate stuff like that. I love me a good handwritten note, like, thank you for supporting me. This means so much. You know, like little things like that. And then they'll throw in freebies, like little stickers.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're already a small business.
Yes.
And you're taking the time for a gesture like this. Like, I'm going to be a loyal customer, period.
I think what I appreciate about small businesses or upcoming creators is that a whole lot of it is just intention of, you know, it's for the people. More than it's, like, from a corporation where, you know, you're trying to make money. And, you know, like, everybody trying to, you know, make some money and it's cool or whatever. But it's more about, like, making it into art. Because art can be anything, right?
Anything.
And it's just the way that you want to give it to people. Because the whole purpose of art is that you want it to be shown, right?
Yeah, and Brother DJ, I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, being that you are creative.
Yes, ma'am.
What is one public space within the whole city of San Francisco that you haven't been able to shoot at yet,
mm-hmm.
but you'd like to in the future?
Man, it's a lot of public spaces I haven't really shot all over the city. One of the spaces I'm actually in now, I would love to shoot here at the Hub. I would love to shoot here at the Hub because this is my, like I said to you guys, this is my first time here. And when I pulled up, I was like, whoa, like Sunnydale looks different. Like, they're really fixing it up. And that's a true blessing, you know, because this is like I said, this is going to be like a very resourceful thing for the kids, not even just all around here, but all throughout the city. Like you said, this is a public space. Well, anybody is welcome. So I would love to shoot here with you guys, maybe in the future for your podcast or to make content. Yes. Hint, hint, I'm winking. Because, you know, I would love to shoot here, though, because it seemed like a very good and positive energy here. I would look forward to shooting here for you guys specifically. I mean, even if it's just for the building as a whole, but for you guys, I would do it. It's fun.
Period. We'll have our people call your people. Which means we'll text you. But with that being said, another point that I'd like to offer up in terms of positives for public spaces is just like the mental health breaks aspect of it.
Real.
Like, I know sometimes when I'm overstimulated or overwhelmed, all I need is a good walk in some sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just offers literally something that's free for you to escape.
Absolutely.
From the stresses, from school, work, family, you know, whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
But I'm curious to know if you could claim one spot within the city as like your thinking space, in air quotes, thinking space, where would it be?
I feel like I've had this thinking spot since high school.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little trail by June Jordan.
Okay.
It's kind of by like the John McLaren sign over there. But you would kind of walk up the trail and then there's this tree, but the way that the tree is built, like the leaves have like, covered most of, you know, like most of the space around it. So you can literally like lift some of the branches, go under, and then you can sit on the branches over there. And then it would kind of like shield you from the sun or whatever. But, you know, you still got enough for some sunshine, right? And I would go over there during my senior year because it was stressful for me during that year. Because I was taking city classes during that time. And I would go there during my free breaks or my free periods. And then ever since then, I've been going over there. Sometimes like I've already taken my oldest there to kind of see what the tree is. I need to show my youngest one, but yeah, that's kind of like my thinking tree.
Girl, let me find out you got a tree house and I ain't get no invite.
First of all, let me find out. What is this? The kids next door?
It might just be. I'm number three.
Okay, well, I want to say my go-to, like, public space, obviously my job, Pelega, you know, I've been working there for about 3 to 4 years now, but that was my childhood, like, playground. I want to say my primary one is, it's part of Park and Rec as well, is Silver Terrace Playground. So you go to Silver Terrace Playground, you go up Bayshore, and it's literally right there to the right. It's like a big old soccer field. Also has a baseball. You can't miss the lights. Yeah, you can't. It's right there, like. So you got the big soccer field, and then there's two quote unquote baseball fields, and then there's a whole area where there's just like the seating area to watch the baseball and the soccer games. Mm-hmm. Then you keep going further down, it's the four basketball courts and the cages. Yes. Keep going even a little bit more further down, it's a play structure for the kids. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I used to always play basketball there. Like I said, my childhood park, I play ball there a lot. Throughout like, I want to say from like high school, like maybe from like COVID is when it like started. When I was having like my moments and I need to just like get out the house because, you know, like you said, being out, you got to be out the house because whether you want to get away from family or even yourself, you know, like get away from school, whatever the case may be, I will go down to that track and just walk around, whether it be early morning, sun setting, or even if it was dark, I'd walk around that track. Take laps and just like acknowledge my feelings and what's going on. Sometimes I go play basketball, shoot around for a couple hours, or sometimes I'll just go sit in the bleachers and just watch the whole entire park and just like really embrace like what I have in front of me. So yeah, that's still my place to this day. I still go there and walk around when I got to get away from everything.
Absolutely.
What's yours?
I would say mine is Ocean Beach.
Oh, we love That's Ocean Beach. Real. We love Ocean Beach.
But I love Ocean specifically Beach. Where the fire pits are, because I'm not gonna be freezing. But
yes.
I don't know. I love Ocean Beach sometimes. It's pretty decent, you know, for a beach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad we got a beach. Period.
Absolutely.
Oh, for real.
But the fire pits hold like a lot of significant memories with like family and like close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we were hanging out or just trying to beat the heat and, enjoy a nice day. But yeah, I don't know. Sitting on a beach, just watching the waves, like, my best thinking is going to occur there.
Absolutely, right. For sure.
But I also feel very at peace at the same time. Like, there's nothing to worry about. I have no problems in this moment. Let me just enjoy it.
It's you, the water, and the sand, and the rocks.
Yes, yes. It's basically Moana 3. But this might be, like, a little controversial. I don't even know if we can say that in this podcast, but would you guys say that 420 celebration at Hippie Hill is, like, in the same category of a mental health break within a public space?
I feel like it is. Only because, like, when it comes to 420, like, a lot of people, like, they usually think that it's like, oh, you guys just want to find an excuse to smoke or whatever. But it's different because you're doing it in a community or with a community that does the same thing. And it's like everyone's vibing, everyone's on the same, you know, kind of wave when it comes to that. And I mean, it's fun. I went to the last one with Erica Badu. Allegedly. I mean, I didn't do anything. I had work like, literally 2 hours later. So I was just there for the vibes, for real.
Right.
But like being, just like being in the space and like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Everyone's hella nice there. Like,
oh, no, off rip.
Bro, like everybody was like offering like, oh, do you want to sit on the blanket? Because, you know, me, I was just standing up with my friends. They were like, oh, do you guys want to sit with us on the blanket? Or I was like, no, it's good, but thank you. So I feel like it's a place for community.
Right.
Oh, no, absolutely. I second that. Because, you know, like you said, the community is a big thing. And, you know, when the city has a chance to give the overall city to come together and really, like, just be in one, like, area, they'll really do anything, like, literally, like, anything. I've never really experienced the whole 420 thing, but, you know, I've had, like, family, friends, you know, always go to Dolores Park, kick it, hang out, and, you know, I've heard some good stories, I've heard some bad stories, so, you know, it's a good balance in between, but I'm not surprised about what you said about people offering you to, like, sit down or just, like, kick it, chop it up, because, you know, they don't want nobody to be alone in those, you know, those circumstances, those type of things, because they just want everybody to have fun. That's what it's for, everybody enjoying themselves, no matter the cost. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok, which kind of gave me the inspiration to bring this up today, but I saw a TikTok that said something along the lines of 420 not taking place this year because the city was unable to plan it.
Yeah.
However, people in the comments were like
going in on them.
Yeah, they were like, this is an unspoken tradition that will continue with like community involvement as it always does.
Oh no, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, because it's at the end of the day, it's usually like community led.
Because
I mean, you can't have the event without the people there.
Oh no, absolutely.
And at the end of the day, if the people are there, they gonna have it. Like,
yeah. And then for the record, I do want to mention that Hippie Hill, a place that I had mentioned, is located within Golden Gate Park, which is, what is it? It's a public space.
It's a public space.
Period.
On that note, when we're talking about community, that's also like a very good perk of public spaces is that, you know, it's like such a big space. You're going to have to, there's the ability to create fellowship, right? And then also to network. For, like, business-wise, like, you know, we could just be chopping it up. Like.
Exactly. You're also forming new connections and friendships.
Yes.
Because for me, like I said, I'm going to keep on mentioning, shout out Pelega. I go, even though I work there, I also play basketball there. Open gym is every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. There's the same group of people that I play basketball with during those days. And I've been doing that for the past 2 years to the point where it's like we all know each other's names. We all chop it up. We all got each other's numbers. We got a whole basketball group chat just so we can be like, oh, is anybody pulling up today? Who's not pulling up today? Oh, do we have enough to play? Do we not? What site we going to? Sometimes we'll site hop. Like, we'll go to different sites throughout the city.
But that's sad.
The primary site is Pelega. So, yeah, it's a very good way for you to make new friends, meet new people, and just you never know what can come out of it. Like I said, I've known these people for 2 years, but I feel like these are all my brothers because I've been playing just by playing basketball with them. So,
that's funny because that's us with SCDC. I feel like SCDC was what brought us together.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, the whole purpose of us being at SCDC was for Speak. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, we just, well, she attached herself to me.
That's so rude. Don't spread misinformation.
It's probably the reverse. I attached myself to Adri because it was me, Adri, and Nay at first. Then it was our sister Nay, then Angel. Then Kai, shout out our brothers and our sisters out there. We miss and love the you guys so much. My brother JJ, shout out Super Stiff, man. Shout out my brother. He out there doing his thing in the world, man.
He's in the Navy.
Yeah.
I feel so appreciative because I feel like I was able to meet everybody that you mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. With that being said, like, we also met because of PIYA.
A public space.
Yes.
A public space.
Yes. And, like, we've been locked in ever since. Ever since. So I echo what you were saying about community and networking happening within public spaces. And it's like the space itself, that's the whole design and intentions with it.
Yeah.
For the space to be utilized by the public, mm-hmm. but also like for more events and community gatherings to take place there in the near future.
So I feel like meeting you was a whole whole turnover for me. I feel like I've changed so much after that.
I'm not gonna lie, I knew Hifo in high school and I thought she was not nice. I thought she was so mean, like yeah.
Absolutely.
In the past. And now look at us. Like, we're best friends. We're co-hosts. Like, yes. We're everything and more. So.
Full circle.
Yes.
Look what time will do.
Absolutely.
Literally. Because I think I met another one of our friends, but it was at Palega. I met my friend Samantha there.
Oh, yeah?
And ever since then.
See, Palenga over here bringing people together.
No, for real. Open gym does wonders.
Yes, open gym.
You know what? You got like an unspoken rivalry with somebody that you only see every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Shout out my boy over there at the gym.
Who?
Shout out. Every time I go play basketball, it's always like the same. I forget his name, but. Oh, no. I know his name, but I'm not going to put his name because I don't know if he wants his name to be put out there.
Okay.
But it's my Filipino friends. He plays basketball and I've been playing ball. He's been there the 2 years and it's like whenever me and him play against each other, we'd be like, all right, here we go again. Like, we got to do this. But when we're on the same team, we'd be having a ball. Whether we're on the same team or not, we have a ball. But everybody knows if it's like me and him going at it, just move out the way. Because like me and him, we play like on and on and on because it's just like it's very competitive. And when you have a friend that you can be competitive with, it's fun for the longest time. So.
Yeah, friends who challenge you are really beneficial.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Challenge you, compliment you at the same time, but never tear you down, you know?
They tear you down, that's not your friend, man.
Right.
So, speak on it.
Spoke. So what is an event that's happening at a public space that you are looking forward to this year?
At a public space? Well, like she said, the small business Sundays. I'm looking forward to a couple more of those, and also the Pacifica Content Sesh. Like I said, I'm gonna try and make one, but I've been so busy and occupied. But one of these days, I will make one. It's so many to name. So much I want to do myself this year because I made it a goal this year to be more open to networking and connecting with others, not just keeping myself in a small circle in just our area, kind of go like out more where I'm not too familiar. But yeah, those are like probably the two I'm looking forward to the most for sure.
Period.
Outside lands.
Ooh,
I'm looking forward to
outside
it.
Lands.
Only because too, I heard that LaRussell's in the lineup.
Oh, LaRussell.
So I'm trying to go see him because I think his music's super dope.
Nah, isn't Dochi also?
Yes, Dochi. What?
She's going to be there? No way. Hey, she got bars, man.
She do. Like, and then I think.
That's a fire lineup. That might.
Man. Oh, Tyler's going to be there.
Tyler, the creator?
He missed out last year, yeah.
Yeah. I love him.
I heard his, what is it, Chromacopia?
Yes.
Yep.
Tour, a lot of people were there. They
man, they, yeah, his tours, man. Not even just his tours, but his shows, just period. They bring in a large crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a separate note, more educational note,
yes.
The event that I'm looking forward to is the 4th annual Bay Area Pacifica STEAM Fair.
Yes.
STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, period. Nice. Through a program called PyFest.
Okay.
Please look up PyFest because I cannot off the dome tell you what the acronym stands for, but we love you, PyFest. It's happening in the month of April at the San Mateo Event Center.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to this because my siblings were a part of the six-week junior robotics series that they had, and I'm very thankful for their exposure and the experiences that they gained in working with STEM-related activities.
Mm-hmm. Keep them busy. Keep them engaged in any activity. You never know what can come out of it. Absolutely. Right. One thing about my sister, she gonna keep her siblings busy. Okay. That's the blessing of having an older sibling. They always want to keep you occupied, keep you busy.
But it's like, you know, about public spaces. Mm-hmm. It's because we have access to these different spaces that we are allowed to, you know, push the youth, or I'm sorry, encourage the youth venture into these new worlds. Like, PyFest happened at the AMU building on Executive Boulevard. So that's one place.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Banlanga is also a place where sports and recreation can happen. I know personally my siblings, they play for a rugby team, and the practices happen at a park in San Mateo. But it's like, once again, these different activities available for youth.
Right.
To get them involved and active and, oh my goodness, off the iPads.
Off the iPads.
Off the iPad. Yes. Off the electronics, yes. Please. Let's work on it. Let's work on it, please.
No, seriously. I appreciate the fact that they added arts to the fair, because usually it's just the STEM fair, but they added arts because there's a Tongan Taolunga group that's going to be performing there.
Nice.
And I appreciate it only because youth in my church youth, they're performing, and it's a good opportunity for them to kind of expose like what Tongan culture is, because we don't get a lot of opportunities like that.
That's right.
I appreciate PyFest for that.
That sounds like fun. I might have to enroll one of my little brother into it. Noah, shout out my little brother Noah, one of the smartest young men in the household over there at the house that we live in. I think he would enjoy that because he's very just like my brother Jordan. Jordan's into computer science, so I think Jordan would enjoy that. Noah, he would definitely would enjoy the fair as a whole. Yeah, I might look into that. Yes,
I encourage you and the boys to go there. We're planning to go.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to support the community, but also shoot, I'm gonna take full advantage of being a kid. That's like my Chuck E. Cheese, you know.
Okay.
I'm gonna be playing with whatever I can find. Shoot, if you see me build like a airplane.
Yeah. Because everything's handmade, right? You can do it on your own, or it's already built, but you can like try it out.
Yeah, and I think they even dive into like a little bit of coding too.
Oh my goodness, that's something.
I need that. I need one of those people on my team for real.
For future reference.
Man, it's good for adults too, because I know that it's youth centered, but I feel like it's good for adults to kind of like get into their inner child.
I am adults. No, but I always tell my siblings, like, you guys don't even understand how privileged you are.
How blessed, how fortunate.
Very fortunate and blessed to have these opportunities, because when I was, like, growing up, I didn't even know what STEAM was. I learned that when I was in, like, the seventh grade.
Yep.
But because they're getting exposed to it at such a young age, like, in terms of growth and development, like, it's already on their radar as a possible career or something to learn about more in the future, to explore. And so with that being said, I'm just so thankful. I hope, and I'm fingers crossed right now, that one of my siblings turns out to be an engineer. If not all. But, you know, we could do whatever you want.
Exactly.
I mean, sky's the limit.
Exactly.
Right. Let me just be an engineer. I can do it.
I feel like you can. Like, wholeheartedly, I feel like.
Why not? Give it a try.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a good field for you.
Women in STEAM. Period. Now, moving on to our next segment, the Clock It portion of the podcast, where we cover the negative indirect impacts of public spaces.
Well, I would like to go over, and it's like a very common, a lot of like sites when there's people like outside of like at the park, or at the structure, or like in the gym, some people will get into like, you know, tussles or arguments, and there's not much to be done. There's no one being like supported afterwards, or even like before, like nobody's keeping an eye like what's going on or to prevent the situation from even happening. One thing I'm like very big on is checking in on someone, especially afterwards, because afterwards you never know what a person is going through. So that's my big thing. So I guess you could say like the security part about it, the public space, because that's like, that's very, very needed, because, you know, there's, not to also mention, there's kids all around the public space, the public area.
Real?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like safety concerns for both children and their families, and also, like, the staff, like yourself. And in a sense, it kind of takes away from the beauty of a public space. Because I can imagine someone saying, like, nah, man, the last time I went there, I got into it with this person, so I'm not finna go there.
Exactly, and people say that very often. They don't want to go to a certain place because of a certain situation that happened last time, so they kind of like, oh, no, man, I can't go over there. Why? Because what happened last time. So that's kind of...
It is a genuine concern, but it's also... disheartening, I guess.
Very.
Yeah.
To,
because it keeps people away from that space after.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because it's, you know, it's not a public space if there's nobody in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's also not a public space if people don't feel
safe,
welcome,
or welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome, let alone safe.
Mm.
Which again are very valid reasons to not go somewhere.
Mm.
How about you, Hifo? Is there anything coming up for you?
I feel like this is both on, like, the community and, like, just public spaces. But, like, just, like, upkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, you know, like, I have small kids. And they'll pick up anything that they see around
and
the
eat
floor
it.
And eat it.
Yeah.
Especially my youngest, because he's only three. So it's kind of just, like, kind of a... It's always something that I have to keep out for. But I feel like it's also in the community as well, because it's like, I mean, do you not see the trash can? Or, I mean, are we looking at the same thing? Because I feel like if you're able to, you know, put something in your backpack for school, I feel like you can throw something in the trash can.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's probably my only thing.
Maintenance
and like... You know, some spaces do need, like, you know, like a good, what do you call it? Beautification.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think another thing is, like, having more events.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And even if they do have events, making sure that it's seen by the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I would appreciate it, like, if there is more flyers online. But, yeah. That's mine. Do you have any?
I think building on your point about maintenance and upkeeping, it reminds me of like these TikTok videos I would watch where members of the community were satisfied with how the bathroom conditions at their local park looked.
Yes.
So they took matters into their own hands and completely sanitized it, hosed it down. You know, and even some companies, like larger companies, were donating materials for this cause. But I think just taking the initiative is also something that's kind of missing, like a missing element within the community. I can't speak much onto it because I can't say that I would be the first one to volunteer for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, holding myself accountable and clocking myself, clocking everybody. I'm going to cut that. Clocking myself, I just, moving forward, I want to be more mindful about being in public spaces. And again, with the trash, like, if I see somebody litter and, you know, I do call it out, an alternative option could be just picking it up myself, you know, taking matters quite literally into my own hands, period. And what you were saying about more community events, I think something that I'd like to kind of clock is the fact that some public spaces really rely on, like, community programming and events to be utilized. I'm going to just leave it at that. Is there anything that you'd want to add, Brother DJ?
No, you guys made some pretty good points. I mean, it's pretty... It's, I think it's common sense, you know, when you're given a beautiful, when you're given a beautiful space, you got to keep it beautiful. You know, like, for example, the Hub. This is a very beautiful space.
I just love this
place. Oh, I love this place. This is my first day. Hey, this is my first day here. I'm enjoying it, you know. But, you know, I'm praying that this place stays how clean and well built it's staying right now. I hope it continues to stay this like this for the next couple months. Next year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case. Hopefully it stays in this solid, stable, beautiful condition. You know, because if it's like that, people are going to want to come here more. They don't want to go to a dirty site where it's trash on the floor. You go to the restroom, there's tissue, floors is wet, toilets aren't flushed. Like, it's I've seen it all from the sites I've worked at all throughout Park and Rec. Even, like I said, even though Pelega is my primary one, a lot of the restrooms in the area look the same. Just trash everywhere, people not picking stuff up. You know, I'll be finding like a flat like basketballs, football, soccer balls on like the roof that are like faded. Even like with like equipment, you know, the kid, like people like come, you know, people can borrow equipment. You just got to give something in exchange as long as you bring it back.
Yeah.
Some people take advantage of that. So I will talk about that. That's one of a negative, I say, as far as like public spaces. Mm-hmm. When we give people, and this goes for everybody, when we give people like equipment, we don't always get it back. They don't know that. There's a certain budget for a lot of sites, you know, that goes into a lot. So it's not just, oh, we're going to take this ball and we're going to bring it home. As I understand, some people want to take the equipment home because they don't have their own stuff, but we need it just as much because we also have a running program here at our site. And then there's also like programs, like you said, like sports clinics, there's Zumba, there's, you know, they need like the speaker or they need like the ping pong table. Like some people like to play ping pong, the elders. So it's like stuff like that. When equipment is being taken away, we're not able to really utilize it as much as we would before because we're losing it all at one time in one setting. So, yeah.
That's real, because I think for SCDC, we also have a certain budget as well when it comes to equipment.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult thing to, like, address and navigate because... part of you understands, oh man, like, you know, these kids or these youth, these teenagers don't got it like that. You know, it's a basketball.
I get it. I was one of those kids too. When I go to the Boys and Girls Club, I took a basketball or two home because I didn't have one at home. It was just like that, you know, especially if you find one outside. It's not like we do it intentionally. Sometimes it's just outside and, oh, they forgot about it. Okay, I'm going to take home. So like you said, I understand that part. But now somebody that works in the system, it's just like, okay, I see why, like, people get like, okay, like, we're giving you guys this equipment. Bring it back, or like they make like signs. So I get it, like you said, sister. I get it from both sides. Both sides understood for sure.
I think it also has to do with like the longevity of the program.
Yes.
If we want it to last for years to come, like these supplies gotta, you know, last at least within the next couple months. But if it continues to be a pattern, like that's gonna result in less programming.
Yep.
Which the community is at loss for.
We need that. The community, we need more programs for our youth. Like you said, sister, we need more programs for the youth to keep them busy, keep them, you know, engaged. And like I also mentioned, you never know what can come out of a lot of these things that they do every day. Like you said, SCDC, Park and Rec, a lot of programs to name that are primarily for the youth, just for to keep them inside, keep them busy.
Yeah, and I definitely think that it's a strength, or something that I'm kind of clocking is community programming needs to also reflect the interests of the community they are serving. And with that being said, to that point, it makes me think of this very recording studio that we're in at the Hub. I know personally we use it for producing our podcast. But I also know that there are aspiring artists
That's right.
that come and record here, which I think is super dope.
That's very dope.
Super dope. And I believe it's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. I'll fact check that. That there are open office hours open to the community to utilize this space with the help of like an engineer, a sound engineer. And yeah, I just think it's really dope because that's how you build a space. You look at the community, see what they're interested in, and then you put something in place to kind of support that. And I'm not even gonna lie, we've talked about this in other episodes, but when we are done with our time in the studio, there will be like youth hanging out outside like, hey, are you guys done? And, you know, they're not rude about it. They're just genuine, like, you know, how'd it go or whatever. And we're like, oh, it's all good. And they're like, were you guys singing? And we're like, no, we weren't singing. Unfortunately, we were not. We were recording a podcast. And then, yeah, they'll just come in here and do their thing.
All right. I think another concern would be, like, you know, how a lot of public spaces aren't really reflecting different environmental conditions. You know, like stuff like rain or like, you know, heat waves or whatever. I mean, I feel like also for a lot of the public spaces, I feel like I'm not able to use it at different times of the seasons or different times of the year, which is unfortunate. Like I haven't found a specific place that, you know,
cause can accommodate.
Me, yeah, because like for me, when I think of public spaces, I think of things like the park or open fields, kind of like how we were talking about Hippie Hill, because of the fact of, you know, I like being outside, and the perfect time to use those spaces would mainly be in the summer. When it comes to the times of like rainstorms or heat waves, it's not really a good idea for it. So I wish that there is a way that public spaces could accommodate for that. I also feel like, I mean, we've been having this problem for like the past 2 months, but like wildlife near public spaces. And I only say that because SCDC has been having this issue with coyotes in the area. And it's come to the point where we've had to really put a sign at the front entrance because there's been so many sightings of coyotes being in the big yard or, you know, being in a space where there's, you know, youth around. Another space that I'm thinking of is, like, during Hippie Hill, there was, like, a deer going through.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't know how it got there. I really don't.
San Francisco is full of surprises.
No, for real. But yeah, there's like things with wildlife and like just kind of acknowledging that they currently exist in a specific area so that the public could be aware of it. We also have like coyote sightings in McLaren Park, which is an issue because, you know, we got Burton, we got June, Jordan. We also have, Big Viz or Visitation Valley Middle School. And, you know, there's, like, a whole bunch of schools in this area, and it's, like, if there's coyote sightings, what are we finna do with the kids?
Right. And, Brother DJ, I'm curious to know, have you had any encounters with, like, wildlife?
Oh, no.
at your sites.
Oh, no. She's going to talk about her story after.
Absolutely. I've had both sites I work at Palega and JFK. JFK is like, you know, when you're going up San Bruno Mountain, you come down, it's literally trees. Like, San Bruno Mountain is right there. So, like, all the trees and everything.
Yeah.
The wildlife is within the area. So we've had a couple sightings and moments where we've had to close off outside play for maybe like an hour or two because we've caught coyotes trying to come in, if not on the field, to the point where like it was quite further away from the children, but still we like took the precaution of, oh no, we got to bring them aside because we don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want to take that risk on all 150 of these kids. No, we're bringing them all inside. They're like, why are we going inside? And then a lot of the kids will like go back and forth trying to like, look, no, like, come on, let's gather, let's go inside. So JFK and then Palega for sure. You know, I'm just like, I think any parking wreck site that has like wildlife or trees near them. And it's crazy because Palega is like, in the middle of like San Bruno.
Yeah.
San Bruno or Felton. So you wouldn't really like expect that, but like you said, it's not too far from John McLaren.
Yeah.
And Lewis Sutter. Lewis Sutter is not too far.
Yep.
So you wouldn't expect no coyotes, but we have our moments where we have, like you said, we have to put up signs at the front of the building and in the back. Because we've had, you know, them go on the soccer field and the baseball field and sometimes even around the neighborhood. We've had some people have to put signs in the middle of the streets.
I think it's crazy that coyotes can make it all the way to Palega because it's like surrounded by residential area and also like businesses and then, you know, San Bruno Street is like just busy in general. So that's why I'm kind of like a coyote playing crossy roads. Come on now.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. There's like the back of McLaren. You know where the pond is?
And yes, I do.
So there's like another area.
Yes, that's really that leads over
to
there.
Palega. Really? So that's probably how they get there because from there to Palega is like 4 blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way that we take to go to the Oxbridge.
Yes.
Market the it's, sandwich yeah. spot.
I only know that because the 54 is right there. Mm-hmm. And I take that's the 54. Right.
Yeah. Damn, I forgot.
Allegedly. She saw the coyote by her car and ran back inside.
That is not what happened. I was preparing. Let me set the scene. It was about 5:55.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was... And I was heading to my car because, you know, it's the end of the day. I'm ready to go home. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for 6 o'clock. And I open up the side door near where the mural is at SCDC. Mm-hmm. And I look up, and it's a good thing I did because I had my 3 younger siblings with me. Something told me, look up. And boom, I'm like face to face with a coyote, like less than 10 feet of distance between us. And I was, like, low-key frozen with fear. I was like, what the? And so I was, like, at the same time pushing my siblings inside with my left arm.
Yeah.
And I had my right arm on the door, and I slowly, like, closed it. After I closed it, I ran to find Hefo. I was like, I can't leave. There's a coyote. Mind you, I parked not too far from the door that I was trying to exit from, but it was, like, to the left side a couple paces. And I just knew I couldn't. I could probably outrun-ish the coyote, but I also had the 3 kids to worry about and whether or not, you know, like, they were in the car. So a good friend of mine, my trusted coworker, he was like, okay, come on, I'm gonna help you go outside. Why we opened the door and the coyote moved right next to my car?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Long story short, we did make it safely. I had made the mistake of we both went outside and I closed the door so the coyote wouldn't run in the building. But that was also our only exit, only way back in. So we just had no choice but to go to the car. Mm. And then the coyote, like, ran off to do whatever it is they do. But yes, that was my encounter. And ever since then, I've been very, very afraid. I'm very afraid that it's going to come back. I always have to look at my car for like a good 2 minutes before I walk to it because I'm like...
You never know.
Yeah. Like, what if it's just waiting for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Don't do that.
No, bro. All I hear is, he fell. There's a coyote. And I was like,
You better put some bass in my voice. He fell. Okay, not too much. No.
And then, bro, the friend that she's talking about came mm-hmm. back inside. And I was like, what happened with the coyote?
Yeah.
He was like, I beat it up.
He lied.
I was like, be so for real right now.
He lied. He was like, why would you lock the door? And I was like, the kids, like, the everyone's inside. And, yeah.
It sounded like brother was just terrifying.
Yeah, literally. Thank you. Like, let's clock that. Yeah. Let's clock that.
I don't believe I've had any encounters with a coyote yet. Like I said, I've had, like, my times where, like, the kids, you know, they've had their encounters or whatever. But I myself haven't had one yet. I wouldn't be surprised if I had one after this podcast, because it seems like we're kind of manifesting. So I wouldn't be surprised. So if it does happen, Adri, I'm going to call you and be like, guess what happened to me today?
What? No, but I think something that also came up within our very colorful conversations mm-hmm. is the issue of, like, security.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be real, like, the presence of crime and theft and, you know, like, substance abuse and,
oh, man.
You know, like, different types of incidents occur all around the city.
Yeah, it's sad.
Because public spaces are, once again, public
spaces, yes.
Yeah. They tend to be, like, frequent places that such things take place.
Yep. Right. Yep.
And I wanted to ask the both of you, like, mm-hmm. how do you guys feel in terms of that?
Man, it's, like you said, it's pretty disheartening and it's heartbreaking to really see a lot of these people, you know, God bless these souls, man, the homeless people, you know, throughout the city, they make their way anywhere throughout the city, but they always end up in throughout, like, the public spaces because, you know, they have access to a restroom to wash their hands. You know, some places they have public showers, you know, some of the, you know, they just want to clean themselves up and just go about. Sometimes they want to sleep, but those public spaces aren't necessarily for that. You know, they're there for activity and physical play and et cetera, you know, arts and crafts. Like you said, maybe like STEM activities. Some places have computer labs, et cetera. So, it's pretty tough to see, but it's also hard on our part because, you know, we have a, what is it called? Not precaution, but...
you have, like, obligations to uphold.
Yes, mm-hmm. We can't. I don't want the kids to, like, really see those people like that. Not even just see them, but, you know, you never know what's going on because, you know, a lot of people, they do some very questionable things around here, and I don't want the kids to be around any of that, so I try to keep my distance away from, like, you know, if recently, this actually just happened just, like, this past week, we had a homeless man smoking in the bathroom, and it was, like, a strong scent of, you know, like, marijuana, and I had to bring my boys to wash their hands for a snack, and I was, like, I had to tell my boss, like, hey, we can't bring them inside, because it's the scent in there is pretty strong, and I don't want them to, you know, inhale any of that or see the man doing it. Because I seen him actually, like, doing it. I was walking in, and I was like, oh, like, we got to go to the other restroom. Thank God it was another restroom in the building. But, it's pretty tough to see stuff like that.
Yeah. I feel like that would be tough to navigate, especially because of the fact that your obligation is to also protect the youth that you work with. So, yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah, something, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. I can imagine it was difficult
for sure, in
the moment, mm-hmm. but I think it's really hard to navigate these certain situations because as, like, Tay or transitional aged youth mm-hmm. ourselves, we're kind of familiar with what's going on, and I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I've kind of built this, like, I'm aware, but I'm also kind of, like, ignoring that it's even taking place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not giving you any acknowledgement, like, actively watching you. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't get it twisted. I'm well aware of what you're doing. Just mm-hmm. you do you. Just don't mess with me, period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then, like, having to spread your awareness to, like, the youth that you're with,
mm-hmm.
like, that's definitely a skill that takes a lot of practicing, but also just nurturing, you know, mm-hmm. nurturing in the sense that sometimes you can go through all the trainings that you need, but then when it actually happens right in front of you, you're kind of like, okay, you know, like, let me lock in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, in working with the community and, like, working with youth specifically, like you mentioned earlier, I see these youth or these kids as, like, my own. Mm-hmm. And I just think to myself, like, every precaution is necessary.
Mm. Absolutely. Period.
There is nothing that is deemed, air quote, too much.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't think there's a such thing as no being such too thing. Safe.
No such thing.
Yeah. And, like, for example, when we would go on field trips.
Oh, yes. The field trips. That's her.
Specifically pertaining to the restroom, mm-hmm. I would go in myself and I'd check each stall, make sure like nobody is in there.
Nope.
That's not supposed to be before I even let my girls come. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
And even for like our male or our boys, our young boys, like for obvious reasons, I can't go in the restroom. Mm-hmm. But I'll make sure there's a staff member who can. Mm-hmm. And, like, even I'll post up outside of there just to right make sure, exactly. Like, when our boys come out, like, hey, you know, come over here. We'll wait. Then we'll all walk together as a group.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, people that don't work with children, obviously, they're like, oh, man, it's not that serious. Just, like, you know, let them go use the restroom. No, man, it's way more than just letting them go use the restroom. It's, okay, we're going to go in here, wash our hands. If you have to use the restroom, do that. But like you said, sister, checking the stalls, making sure nobody that's not supposed to be in there is in there, mm-hmm. making sure everything is cool, make sure there's nothing that the kids are about to be in use of. There's nothing wrong with it. Like you said, it's a whole checklist for a lot of stuff that people deem to not be taken seriously or it's not that deep when it really is. For the young ones, we have to be careful with them like they are our own because at the end of the day, they're in our care and our security and we have to be that for them.
Mm. Yeah, I think with restrooms too, like I've been in public restrooms where they just have discarded needles.
Oh my gosh. I don't
yeah. Know. Being used. And I know like it's definitely something hard to talk about. But with that being said, something that I think could be done in the future as like a sort of preventative measure are disposal sites mm-hmm. for the needles, like needle disposal boxes mm-hmm. in restrooms. And actually, I have been to a restroom at, it's at a Whole Foods. Yeah, in, I think, Noy Valley. Mm. And they have a box mm. for the purpose of discarding needles.
That's smart.
And I think while it might not be something that affects me, like personally, I don't, you know, utilize or I don't use.
Yeah, but I feel like it still does affect you.
Yeah.
It affects all of us because of course. Well, excluding myself. But I feel like, you know, everybody I just have a thing with public restrooms. I just can't.
Yeah, she does it.
I have a phobia, or I don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm kinda gaining that right now, just talking about that needle thing. Like
yeah, because it's like most of my time as like a teenager was like downtown. Okay. So yeah, ever since then I don't really use public restrooms. But I feel like it does affect all of us at some degree because of the fact that we are the public. Mm-hmm. Especially because, well, you know, Adrian and I, like, we have youth in our care. I feel like, yeah, because, you know, and you work with youth. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just something that D10 could adopt and kind of like, you know, kind of distribute it at every public place that we, or public space that we have in D10. Because, you know, it's there. You know, even if nobody uses it, the fact that it's there, it does help the public know that, you know, somebody cares
yeah.
about it.
You know, speaking of restrooms, mm-hmm. I just thought about something that I'd like to clock. And it's actually mm-mm. pretty minor, like, in the greater schemes of things. But, mm-hmm. like, public restrooms are not considerate of youth.
Why? No, they are not. Oh, my goodness.
Because, like, for one, the toilets be high as heck.
Oh.
High as hell.
Yes, yes, yes.
The sinks also high.
Yes.
You know, and there's, like, no step stool. Not that I can imagine there's being a step stool. But, like, I feel like that's not considerate of our younger kids.
Yeah, because some of them have a tough time trying to use the restroom, man. They'd be like, could you help me? It's too high, or I can't wash my hands. Can you give me the soap? You know, they have a tough time. Like you said, it's very, very tough for them at times. At times, but they'll figure it out. But
no, again. And like my sister, my youngest sister, she's pretty tiny.
And we still love her the same.
Yeah, and sometimes she'll be like, I can't even sit on here. Can you help me?
Oh,
and I'm
goodness.
Like, like, yeah, I'm clocking myself. My bad. But it's just like, I wish the kids didn't have to go through so much just to use a public restroom. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, man, when the public restroom doesn't have the seat covers, bro.
Dude.
I'd be so upset.
That's nasty.
I'd be so upset. Oh, my.
I would cry.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like, no. Okay, next topic. I can't keep talking about this. It's giving me the ick, but it's like, it's such a good conversation.
Are you getting triggered?
Yeah, I'm getting more than triggered. Don't even get me started on porta potties, bro.
Trauma dumped.
I will never in my
life. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I don't even want to get into that.
No,
I
have a story. Speak on it. You can't just bring it up and not talk about it.
Oh my goodness.
It.
So I've had an experience with porta potties myself. Oh my goodness, bro. I remember one time, it was at the San Mateo County Fair like 2 summers ago.
That is so a public I was using space.
Yes, that is. Shout out to San Mateo County Fair, the community area. That is a very solid space. They always have the community fair every summer. But I went like 2 years ago, and it was when Sammy Johnson was performing. I had to go use the restroom. I was with my brothers. Not like that. I had to go number one. Just had to go.
We're cutting that. Anyways.
I had to go use the restroom, and I wanted to like hurry up before Sammy Johnson. Well, he wasn't performing yet, but I had to hurry and go use the restroom. And there was like a mini line, so I was like trying to hurry up. So there was two right next to where the food was, and then there was one on the other side where it's near the entrance. So I had to go to one near the entrance, and I was like, why is there no line here? I go in, use the restroom, and you just feel somebody go like this, like pushing it to the left. And I'm like, okay, somebody's like playing around. I come out. It was so windy. It was like to the point where it was like the lock was loose. So when I got out, when I was walking out, I like stepped out and it's like near felt to like the right, and I said, okay. And all you heard was like a little like a splurge, like a splash sound. And I was like, oh no. I didn't do that. But I got scared though for the next person, cause somebody went in after me, like right after. They was like, right on, bro. Came in, he used the restroom. He was like, bro, what happened? And I was like, oh.
Did it like get all over the floor or
it
what?
It did. It was like,
man, that was weather.
It was bad. That was my experience. I'm not too big of a fan using the porta potty. Trauma dump.
No, but seriously though, like sometimes when there aren't enough public restrooms available in a space, especially for events, that's true. They will bring in porta potties.
They will, because people be lining up for them public restrooms, man. When they got to use it, it's crazy. So yes, porta potty, you may have to resort to one. No. Sorry, sis, I know you don't. You're not too fond of this right now.
I think I remember Pack Feats.
Oh my gosh,
Pack Feats
was a mess when it came to.
Yeah, and even the year before, it was only porta potties.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yes, that's right.
And I was like, no.
There was yes.
But last year, sorry, I've only went last year. Mm-hmm. Last year they had the actual restrooms.
They had the actual
restrooms.
Yeah,
but it was
yes.
like
it was the line for me.
The lines were long, and they had like 4 different restrooms because it was on each side of the stadium, the entrance and the very end backstage.
Yeah.
Right next to backstage. Yeah.
Yeah, made sure not to. Nope.
What you guys didn't know, I was backstage because, like I said, I was one of the media people, yeah. there was two restrooms backstage that was only for the backstage people. So there was a total of 6 bathrooms, but there was only 4 restrooms for the whole entire. Yeah.
But to be fair, though, like, I think that's definitely needed because those that are backstage, you know, need to be back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
But, yeah, if you were to have to wait in the regular public restrooms, you wouldn't be there until you missed the complete set.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Okay, to recap everything that we covered within this episode, starting with positive impacts, we went over creative hustles and side gigs, mental health breaks, community building and networking opportunities, and then access to resources. For negative impacts, we went over weather conditions, security and safety, lack of funding, and then wildlife. Public places in SFD10 have their highs and lows. On the other hand, they're perfect for connecting with community, enjoying some outdoor time, and checking out local events. But on the other hand, gentrification, safety issues, and lack of care for these spaces can make them less inviting, especially for those who really need them. It's all about striking a balance where everyone feels welcome, safe, and empowered to be a part of the space.
It's time for our favorite segment called Stand on Business, where we have a small call to action for our listeners. This week's challenge, we ask you to please post a throwback picture of an event that you attended held at a public space within the last year. Extra brownie points if you add a song that reflects your time while being there. You can share it with us on Instagram at BigPer_SF with the hashtag Speak It Into Existence. With our guest episodes, we like to hold space and give them the opportunity to share any remarks or takeaways from today. So, DJ, once again, I turn it over to you.
Okay, well, first, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to come on this platform and be present in you guys' newly established home, The Hub. Mm-hmm. Shout out The Hub again. I will be here again. But also, I just want to acknowledge that you guys took the time out you guys' day to allow me to be here on you guys' platform and really not only voice my... you know, my career as being a teacher and working with children, but also just me as an overall person. You know how I try to be well spoken and continue to push the cause for working with the youth, because that's very important to me. But yeah, just thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here and being able to talk to you guys about everything that's going on in the public spaces and what's going on with the world. Mm.
If there was any word, or if you could choose one word to summarize your experience in being here with us, what would it be?
Great.
Great?
Great. It would be not... It's kind of like this type of experience is more than just one word. It's kind of... That's like, in disbelief, because I never would have thought I myself would be in a position to be in an interview, let alone be a part of a podcast, because I'm nobody, not just yet. I'm still working on, you know, myself as an overall, you know, young man, but, you know, as a creative as well. I thought I would be, part of some things like that, not actually being the person interviewed. So this is a very fun and a very, very... a very amazing experience. I never would have thought I'd be in a position to be doing something like this. So I'm grateful for it and I'm blessed.
Well, let this be a reminder that you are somebody and that your story matters. And it also has the potential to inspire other young folk, other listeners, future creatives. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I think that's one thing that we... really appreciate you for is that just as much as we've taken time, you've taken time out of your schedule to do this with us. For me, I was really excited to, you know, talk with you, especially because I haven't gotten the chance to get to know you that well or for very long. So I'm really appreciative that you came through.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again. That's all the time that we have today. Please be sure to check out our other episodes and keep tapping in with us. I'm Hefo.
I'm Adri.
With our special guest,
DJ.
And thank you for listening to the
Speak On It podcast.
This episode is made possible by the Samoan Community Development Center in partnership with the Pacifica Urban Roots Collaborative and funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. A big thank you to the Hub SF, our sound engineer DJ Bilal, and our producer Daniel Danny Boy Naha Ve'evalu. To learn more about the SPEAK program, visit scdcsf.org and click on the Community Research tab. There, you can access our report.